Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Now this morning, I want us to, the first scripture I'm going to read to you is Proverbs 11:30, and it says there that he who is wise wins souls. Do you know it? Some of you know it. You're wise. He who is wise wins souls. And if you want to be wise, then you need to win souls. And God wants us to know that he wants to help us in the winning of people to Christ. And the next scripture that I'd like us to look at is Luke 19, verse 10, which says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus' ministry in coming to this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you agree? Yeah. And so if his ministry was to seek and to save that which was lost, then our ministry must be the same. Do you agree? Yeah. You see, as believers in Jesus, we have a ministry to God, we have a ministry to one another, but we have a ministry in reaching people for Jesus. Your mission field is in your own home, probably. It's around your home, it's your neighbours, it's your friends, it's your workplace. And we've got an amazing mission field right here in this building every week. Things happening in this building most days in the week. There's an amazing mission field there. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm just going to ask you a question, asking you to answer this now. But is your list, is your mission to seek and to save, not that you can save them, but you know what I mean, seek and save those who are lost? Because Jesus wants that to be right at the top of the pile. That in our ministry, the reason you and I are here on this earth is to seek and to save people who are lost and bring them into the kingdom, add them to the church. And Jesus wants our hearts to be beating this way every day. And then let's turn to Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to read this from the Truth Version, Luke 4. And here's the big key for us in being a personal witness. Jesus then returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power, and soon news about what he said and did spread throughout the whole province. Everyone praised him for the teaching he gave in the synagogues. When he came to his hometown of Nazareth, he went, as usual, to the synagogue on the Sabbath. When he stood to read from the scriptures, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled it to the place where it reads, "The Lord's Spirit is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to tell the prisoners they can be set free, and to tell the blind they will be able to see, to free people from the oppression that has crushed them, and to announce that the year of God's favor has arrived." I'd like us to actually read this together. Can we just read that together? It's such a great confession. Because the Lord's Spirit is coming down afresh today upon us to enable us to do this. This is the ministry of Kingdom Faith Church. This is a ministry verse. And let's just read it together, can we? "The Lord's Spirit is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to tell the prisoners they can be set free, and to tell the blind they'll be able to see, to free people from the oppression that has crushed them, and to announce that the year of God's favor has arrived." Amen. You've just prophesied over your life. You've just prophesied over your life that the Lord's Spirit is upon you to do all these amazing things. By witnessing about Jesus, by pointing people to him, by telling them about him, but also not just words, but power that comes out of our lives to heal the sick, to break oppression, and to set the captives free. That's our job. That's our job here at Kingdom Faith Church. It says that he then rolled up the scroll and returned it to the attendant and sat down to indicate he was about to speak with authority. Everyone in the synagogue was watching him closely, and he began his address by saying, "This scripture is now being fulfilled in your presence." Amen. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to come down afresh upon us today. Amen. Acts 1 verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Why? So that we can be his witnesses. Thank you. "You shall be my witnesses." Why? When the Holy Spirit's power comes upon us. Now, one of the reasons that we are not effective in our witnessing is sometimes because we're not moving under his anointing, his power. But God is releasing his power upon us today and every day so that we make the most of every opportunity, because we're living in days that are evil. The Bible says that there's a darkness in the world, but there's light in the church. Amen. And we're the light. We are the light of the world, actually. God has made us, the church, the light. And we're to set our light on the top of the hill. And I want to encourage you today. One of the things God's going to do today is going to put upon you the spirit of boldness.
Amen. Yes.
Naturally speaking, I'm not bold. But with the Holy Spirit, I'm very bold. And you are too. I can walk into Crawley Town Centre and go up to a group of people I've never met before and start talking to them and very quickly get into conversation to witness them about Jesus. What is that? It's an anointing. There's an empowering. There's a boldness that God gives. There's a release of his power. And I'm not saying that all of us are supposed to do that. But what God does want us to do is use the power, the anointing that he's given to us, and boldly step out and begin to speak into different situations. Begin to witness to your neighbours. Look for those opportunities that are there. I remember the first time that we did something in the church that we'd started some years ago before we came to Kingdom Faith. We did some door-to-door work. And the whole idea was that we'd put something through people's doors about Jesus, and then we'd tell them that we'd be following up with a call. And that's what we did. And we went on this new estate. I remember knocking on this door. I was the one leading the work, so I was training the people what to do. So I knocked on the door, I rang the bell. And this lady answered the door, and she opened the door about that much, just about see her head, her face. And so with the door like that, I could tell she wasn't very interested to talk to me. So I said hello to her. I explained who I was and that I'd left something through her door, which she had seen. And she said, no, thank you. And was about to close the door. And just before she closed the door, I reached into my pocket, not for my gun, but for my... for my tract, my leaflet I'd written about how I became a Christian and about what it meant to know Jesus. And I said, just before you close the door, I said, just take this. You need to read this. And before she caught my hand in the jam, she took the leaflet and she said, please don't call again. That's the last thing I remember she said to me. Please don't call again. And out of politeness, she took the leaflet. A week later, we were calling back in this road. And this is typical of me, by the way. I'm not very good at administration. So I got my numbers wrong, and on this was the house I was not supposed to call, I was calling. So anyway, I got all my things muddled up, went to the door, rang the doorbell, and as I rang the doorbell, you know when you have those moments, and you realise this is a big mistake. But God uses our weaknesses. And my story is really in witnessing to people is God always is using my weaknesses and makes it work for his glory. And she came to the door, she opened the door, but this time she opened the door that much. I could see, actually see her. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I was apologetic in that. And she said, no, she said, I read your leaflet. I said, oh, that's good. What do you think of it? She said, I want to know how to become a Christian. Just like that. And that's how I felt. Yeah. And that day, I witnessed her about how she could know Jesus. We invite her around to our home. She got thoroughly born again. I mean, she repented of her sin. What I didn't realise was that she'd been suffering from depression for at least a couple of years since her last baby had come. And so she was really at home virtually all the time, just in depression. Her husband was a businessman. And cut a very long story short, she got wonderfully saved, filled with the Holy Spirit that day. While we spoke, she went home happy.
Yes,
about 11 o'clock at night. And so when I next spoke to her husband, he wanted to know who this Paul Taylor was and where his wife had been. And he said, I understand that he actually rang me. And he said, I understand you've invited her to a group that you're running. I said, that's right. It's going to be in our house. So he said, well, I'd like you to offer our house. And the reason he did that was because he thought we were a sect. He thought we were a strange group. And he wanted to check us out. So we agreed to have it in their house, which was even better as far as I was concerned. And so by the fourth week, he got saved. And the whole family are serving Jesus. We've actually lost touch with them now because they moved away doing work. But they were a blessed, very blessed family. And great that they were part of our church at the time. God is good. Bring it right up to date. I was asked to go and see a lady called Sue. I'd met her recently in Crawley, and to talk to her, and she said, "I just want to know more about your Jesus." And the same thing happened. We took her into another couple's home in Crawley. We explained how she could know Jesus. We explained that she was homeless. She had a very, very difficult set of circumstances, which I don't have to go into this morning. But God wonderfully saved her. We knelt down on the living room carpet, which is what we normally do. I said, "Sue, I want you to say your own prayer this morning. You've heard about Jesus." I always go through a few times, two or three times with a person and make sure they thoroughly understand what it means to become a Christian. They understand about repentance. They understand what it means to not just ask for forgiveness, but to really hand their life over to Jesus. And we run through the whole thing of truth, that they understand who Jesus is and what he did and how he died and rose again, that he's in heaven today and that he's come to make his home in us. And that today is the end of our old life, at the start of a new life, that we're going to give our whole life to him. I always do that to make sure that the person that we're then going to pray with later on has a thorough understanding of what they're doing. It's good. So I tend to hold back on actually leading a person in prayer. I usually wait until I hear them say, "What must I do?" Until I hear them say, "I want to say that prayer that you prayed for with that person the other day." Until I hear a person say, "I want to give my life to Jesus." When you hear people talk like that, you know that they're under conviction. And when they're under conviction, they'll be ready, even if they don't know quite how to say it, they'll be ready to begin to pray out. So this lady, Sue, here we are, we're Neil Carp in the room of some friends. And she said, I can't pray. I can't pray," she said. I said, "Yes, you can. You've been talking to me. I've been talking to you. It's talking to God. And all you need to do is just talk to God and invite him to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of the sins that you've done, the things you've done wrong. And today you dedicate your life to him. You can do it, Sue. You can do it." And we prayed. We waited. We actually waited quietly. And nothing happened. And so I talked to her. I said, "Sue, what's the problem?" She said, "I want to, but I just can't." So two of us went out the room while just left the lady, one of our church members, with her. We went out the room. We just took authority over that thing, stopping her, giving her life to the Lord. You know, just before someone becomes a Christian, there's usually a great big battle. And we have to take authority of those demonic spirits that have been working against them and break their power. So that's what we did in the kitchen. And then we were called. 5 minutes later, she was through. She was born again. She's saved. She knows Jesus. Things is happening in her life. She's following the Lord now, and she's coming along to the church, which is great. And we're beginning to believe that she'll become a great disciple in God. And God's got a great future for her. Now, you have friends, hopefully. You have friends, you've got people, you've got neighbours at least, and you've got people that you rub shoulders with in your workplace. There's people in this building, hundreds of people come through every week, and we need to be personal witnesses to them. And I'll be honest, I was praying last night, and when I was praying about this morning, I had this picture, and it was of a sports car, which I'm sure Pastor Jonathan will be very happy about. But this high-performance car, God said, "That's the church. That's Kingdom Faith." But it was stuck in a gear. It wasn't first gear. It wasn't second gear. It may have been third gear. But it wasn't top gear. And remember, I'm praying about being a personal witness. And God says something has to change. Something has to change gear here. For us to get into top gear, in order to see people not just coming into a building, but being radically saved. Do you agree? This will go for where we live, with our neighbours. It will go for our friends, our relatives, our workplace, wherever we go. God wants there to be a breakthrough. God wants there to be a change take place. Like changing a gear, like the gear was stuck. And it's great to be in third gear, but not when you're supposed to be in fourth. It's great to be in fourth, but not when you're supposed to be in fifth or wherever the top gear is. And God wants to carry us in Kingdom Faith into a time of overdrive where we are seeing, not through more effort, but through faith in God, that this is his work, that he wants people saved, born again. And it's definitely there's an anointing that God puts upon us to lead people through to Jesus. You know, I've seen people push people through, and it's the worst thing you can do. Because if you get if you just lead a person in a prayer, they've just prayed a prayer. But if you wait and let the Holy Spirit do His work, what happens is, and you're in faith in God and faith in the Holy Spirit, then what will happen is that person will get saved in God's time and in God's way. And I've found that people like that, they stay. They may have difficulties, they may even dip and dive sometimes, but most of them stay because they've been thoroughly born again, born of the Spirit. God wants us, not just one or two people, but He wants the whole church to be involved in winning people for Jesus. And He wants to use your personal story. See, I didn't have a story about mugging a granny or robbing a bank or some desperately, desperately evil thing. My story was at 10 and a half, I realized who Jesus was and that my whole life would be wasted if I didn't give my life to Him, and I needed to receive His life. So you don't have to have an incredible story to give a great testimony. After all, your testimony isn't about you. It may have been about where you've come from, but your real testimony is about who Jesus Christ is and how wonderful He is, and how great He is, how powerful He is, and of the things that He's done. And that's the kind of witness that God wants for us. Sometimes I've heard people give their testimonies and you end up thinking, well, that was all about their past. And they just said a little bit about Jesus right at the end. And so we're quite keen now in Crawley Church to say to people, please, you know, say a little bit about your past, but don't overdo it. And then say about how you actually became a Christian. And when you give a test, say, describe what actually happened to you, your experience, what took place in your life. Explain it with words that people can understand. I said sorry. I realized I was wrong. I turned to Jesus and describe what happened. And then most of all, talk about Jesus, about who He is and what He did on that cross and how He was raised from the dead and how He's alive today and how His Spirit is living on the inside of me and you. And when we actually have a focus like that, I tell you, the Holy Spirit actually has some material He can work with. Are you with me? And God wants to use our testimony, our witness, if you like, of who Jesus is and what He's done. And I believe we're going to see a whole move of God here, bringing not just ones and twos, but tens and twenties. Numbers of people through. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it wasn't... Peter obviously preached a great message. 3,000 people say, awesome. But you know where the rest of the thousands came from was everyone was a personal witness. Yep. Everyone was witnessing personally to people, gossiping the gospel, if we can put it that way, boldly talking to people about who Jesus was and is. You know, a year ago, we had an outreach on the bandstand in Crawley. And I remember this Asian, a young guy came up to me, he told me he was a Muslim. And he said, you Christians talk about Jesus and... how can we know He's real? How can we know He's true? And I said, come with me. And we went to the back of the bandstand. Lots of things happening at the front of the bandstand. And I began to witness to him about who Jesus really was. Explain to him. And he said, would you pray for me? Now, this wasn't a salvation prayer. I just want to make that clear. He wasn't ready to give his life to Jesus. His name is Ahmed. And I said, as I pray for you, Ahmed, Jesus will reveal Himself to you. And then you have a decision to make whether you're going to give your life to Him or whether you're going to carry on doing what you're doing. And I just lightly put my hand upon his head and he went out. Unfortunately, someone was just behind the bandstand, actually saw him falling. I didn't even see him falling. And as he began to fall down, he caught him and he was on the floor, I don't know, for a few minutes, but he was out. He was out for the count. God had counted him out. And when he got up afterwards, I said to him, Ahmed, I said, that was the power of Jesus. That was the love of Jesus that you just experienced. And he's calling you to follow him. And I can't make you follow him. I want to encourage you to follow him. But when you give your life to Jesus, that power will be inside of you. That's what you need. I actually met him this last week in the middle of town. He still hasn't given his life to Jesus. So we're praying for him. But he will be. He will be saved. God's got his hand upon him. God is awesome. The Lord is wonderful. We have a man in our church. His name is Kenny. And Kenny and his wife have been with us for a couple of years now, and they have a great, they're gatherers. They're able just to bring people into church life or get them into a group or bring them into their home. They've just got lots of unsaved friends. And Kenny was telling me this story the other day, and I'm going to share it with you because this is about personal witness. Him and his wife went to Morrison's at Broadfield, just down the road here. And while they were doing their shop together, Kenny said to me, he said, I walked past this couple. And he said, I was moved with compassion for this couple. He said, I don't know why, I almost felt like crying for this couple as I walked past them. And so as I walked past them, he said, I began to pray. And God said to me, they've been trying for a child and no success for a long period of time. Then he said 2 months, gave me a figure of 2 months, and then something else, which I actually can't remember now, some other important fact. And he carried this, and he said, but he didn't know what to do. He was fearful about going to talk to them. He's a couple, a great big guy, and his missus. I mean, would you do it? It's a challenge. But you see, personal witness, you have to respond immediately to what the Holy Spirit gives to you. Now, God was very gracious, because as he was walking around the store and was debating with God whether to do this or not, he knew he'd received something from the Lord, and he just said, God, give me another opportunity with this couple. And just as they were going out the checkout before they left the store, the Morrison store, they literally went out the door at the same time. And he said, I'm just going to go for it. And so he said to them, he said, my name's Kenny, are you trying for a child? Are you trying to have a baby? And he said, as he began to speak to them, tears came to their eyes. Because it's the greatest thing that they had need of, as far as they were concerned, that they've been after a baby for a long period of time. And he said to them, God just showed me that you've been trying for a baby. And, you know, Jesus is alive today. He's living. And told me that that within two months, you'll conceive and you'll have a baby. And there was some other fact which I can't remember now. But he just gave it to them.
Yep.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And some of you have done the same thing. But the reason I share that is because the Holy Spirit is the senior partner in being a witness. And if we'll invite the Holy Spirit to come and take control of our life, in our witness now, not our church life, but our witness life, you see what he will do. Because he's a God of miracles. And very often the reason why we get stuck is because we hesitate. We sometimes hesitate instead of stepping out. Sometimes we are fearful. We have doubts. The other thing is sometimes we can get disappointed because we've tried something, we failed before. But God today, God wants to release faith, God's faith, into our spirit. Do you know, every time I go out to witness, and I'm, you know, whether it's going into the square at Crawley or knocking on doors or talking to my neighbours or going to the store or whatever it is, I have a faith, I have an expectation something great is going to happen.
Yes.
Every time I go into Crawley, something great is going to happen today. There's an expectation. It's not me trying to whoosh it up. I'm not trying to gee it up, as it were. I just have a faith in God that God's going to do something because he's in me. And the Holy Spirit is in you today, and he wants to use you to expect the same thing. He wants to bring us as a church into a place of faith and expectation, because when we have a faith and expectation, we have a confidence and assurance that God's about to do something. Are you with me? And God wants to release that upon us as a whole body this morning, I believe. It's a partnership. And the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is the senior partner, then he carries the strain of it. He carries the burden of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not my work, it's his work and it's our work. And so we're walking together in this. And since I got a revelation of this some years ago, it takes the strain out of being a witness. I used to hate the word. Being a witness, because the Holy Spirit actually will enable you to be the greatest witness that there is. The Holy Spirit will release faith in you, and you'll realize that you're not doing this on your own. He's living in you, he's with you, and he will give you the right words and tell you what to do. And we've seen people, as I'm sure many of you have here today, seen people healed, seen people set free. All kinds of things can happen both before they get saved and afterwards. But God wants some powerful witnesses in this church. He wants Kingdom Faith Church to have a very, very powerful personal witness to people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember some years ago, I went to a house I think that was some door-to-door work at the time, where we called on a particular home and all the curtains were closed. There was no light, no natural light in this house. And I got to know the guy in there. It was him and a lady that he was living with. And they lived the life of a recluse. They'd just been there for a number of years. They would just come out, go to the shops, and that's where they lived. It was a weird situation. But when I went, and when we went in there as a church, we began to carry the light of Jesus in there. Began to witness to them about the wonder of Jesus. And you know, it took about 2 years, but within 2 years, the curtains, not just the curtains were open, but they were out. He got thoroughly born again. She got saved. She moved off somewhere else. They were living together. She went somewhere else. And he really gave his life to Jesus in a very, very radical way. Why? Because of personal witness. Now, we all have different spheres in which we live and work in. And you'll have to ask the Holy Spirit to show you where he particularly wants you to work. But for most of us, we don't have to look any further than our neighbours, our relatives, our workplace. Here in the building here, there's people waiting to be saved. There's people waiting to be saved. And they need to hear the gospel truth. They need to hear the truth about Jesus. And I think we need to be a little bit more upfront. I believe we need to be a little bit more bold about telling people about Jesus. There's a right way to do that, not preaching in their face, but through relationship, through talking to them. And I had some practical things that I've jotted down here. If you're making notes, I hope this will be helpful. Just a few things, practical tips before we pray together. When you're being a witness, if you're going to be a good witness, you need to look good. Look good. Look good. Just turn to your neighbour and say, you look good. What I mean by that is that you're walking close to Jesus, so you will look good. But very practically, your face is well washed. You're not unshaven. The second thing was that you smell good. Practical tip. B.O. is not the scene here. Okay, that's one of the worst things. That's not being a good witness. That's being personally a bad witness. Mind your breath if you had curry or garlic the night before, because that can put people off. Smell good. Give people space when you're talking to them. You know, if you talk to people, I don't know why I'm wearing these, but if you talk to people like this, if you talk in their face, hi, Jonathan, how are you doing? Are you all right? But you see, some people actually get into people's faces. Give people space where they feel comfortable, they don't feel threatened. You know, there's an invisible barrier that we need to allow so that people are not pressured. But you talk to them and you listen to them. Number four. That was number three. Number four, ask questions and listen carefully. I know some people, when they witness, they do all the talking. Yep. Bad job.
Right.
We need to do some talking, but we actually need to ask the right kind of questions. That's what Jesus did. And then you'll hear where they're at, what's happening in their life. You'll understand where they are. And you'll be able to pitch the rest of what you're going to give to them from God. You'll pitch it in the right way. Yes. So a sensitivity to people is required here. Discern how near they are to being saved. Right. Discern how near they are to being saved. Some people are very, very near. I've met someone this last week, very close to being saved. Met someone else, they're probably a number of steps away. And so that will help you as you're praying for them. Number six, that was number five. Number six, pray daily for them.
Yes.
Pray every day. Yes. Keep it on the boil. Every day, pray for them. I remember some years ago, we had a lady in our church. She was a Jehovah's Witness. She got incredibly saved, filled with the fire of God. But her husband was unsaved. And I remember we started to pray for him. And this prayer went on for a number of months. And then one day, I was on the way to this is when I was in full-time work, onto a building site where I was working as an electrician. And on the way there, God said to me, stop praying for Chris. Start thanking me you're saved. Oh, wow, that's amazing. Stop praying for Chris. That was the first thing. I thought, that's strange. I thought we were supposed to pray for him. Start thanking me he's saved. And so I rang his wife and I said, we're to stop praying for Chris. God's heard our prayers. The work's been done. Start thanking him that he's saved. And so we were in a position of faith that we knew now that it was just a matter of time. It could be a few minutes, a few hours, maybe a few days, but it was about to happen. As far as God was concerned, it was done. Now, this is the kind of faith prayer that we need when we're praying for the lost, praying for people who are unsaved. We need to pray with faith. We need to understand what God's saying. And there'll come a time when God will say, it's done. We've experienced this in some of the groups that we've run in Crawley. We have WHO groups, that's groups for unsaved people. And quite often God will say to me, tonight so-and-so's night. Tonight this person will give their life to me because they've come to that point now where they're ready to give their life to Jesus. And you'll have a sense in prayer when that is. Number 7, always have literature material that you can give to somebody. Always have something in your pocket or in your Bible or in your, something with you that you can give to somebody else that you can share with them, a tract or something that explains a little bit more about who Jesus is, something that they can take away with them. That's why I think it's a great idea to have your own story. And if you can, I challenge the students to do this, is write down your story, remembering the three things, a little bit about your past, how you became a Christian, what really happened, and then the third and most important thing about who Jesus is and what he's done, and put that into a leaflet, a tract, something that you could give to somebody else with your name, number and details so that you have there's a form of contact there. I think this is really important. Number 8, keep note of name and mobile. Oh, yes, that's right. And a number of at least so that you can keep in touch. And then number 9, who else and what else will help this person that you're witnessing to come to salvation? So, for example, if you're witnessing to somebody and I'm just trying to think of a good example. Let's say they're a keen Formula One supporter. Well, you invite them to meet someone like Jonathan. Or you bring them into a particular outreach meeting that we're having here in the building here. You may think of someone that would relate to them really well. So start inviting other people into that environment. Don't think that you've got to do it all on your own. But invite others. We're a body here. And we work together as a body. We work together in the church to support one another. And very often, I know it's true for us that people get saved not just because of me. They get saved because of a number of other people that have formed relationships and we build something together so that when they get saved, they've got saved into the church. Not just one person's attached to them, but actually a number of people, even though that person may end up being their disciple and disciple them. Can you give your story concisely? Because it's very important that we don't bore people, but that we actually bring them through. So you need to be able to say your story about what Jesus means to you and how you became a Christian, short and sharp, short and punchy, your personal story. And then one final question I'm going to ask you, who are you specifically praying for, reaching out to today? Who are you praying for and reaching out to today? Every single one of us in this building should have at least one person that we're praying daily for, that we have written down on a piece of paper probably. Maybe you've got a short list of people. I would suggest that we all should have a short list of people that we've written down that we're praying for these people to be saved. And actually we're saying, Holy Spirit, here I am, Lord. I make myself available to you. Please use me in being a personal witness to these people. Here I am, Lord, use me. And the moment you pray that prayer, and that's what we're going to be doing this morning in a minute, is when we pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit will take you at your word, at your faith, and he'll begin to open up supernatural opportunities, wonderful opportunities. The Bible says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I believe God is he's the creator, isn't he? He's the one that creates those opportunities. And when we make ourselves available, at that point, God will start using us. But we need to be in faith. And faith, God's faith, gets the job done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And when you start seeing people with the eyes of faith and love, God will start imparting to you what he feels about that person, what he sees about the people in your street, the people that live next door to you. And you'll begin to have faith. God, you can save this person. You can save this family. Hallelujah. There's an abundance, I believe, that God has for kingdom faith. When I talk about abundance, I'm talking about an abundant harvest. Yeah. We're living in a time of harvest. Yeah. Do you agree? Yes. And God wants to bring us into abundance, and in Kingdom Faith and in our nation. It's harvest time. And I want to read Leviticus 26, Leviticus chapter 26. Have you found this helpful?
Yes.
Leviticus 26, because all of us in this room today are soul winners. I believe that with all my heart. We're soul winners.
Yes.
We're personal witnesses. And Leviticus 26, there's a reason I'm reading this. You shall not make idols for yourselves. This is verse 1. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. This comes out of obedience and love. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. This is a prophetic word now. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Wow. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you or hate you. You know, this is we are the tabernacle of God. We're the habitation of God, aren't we, as a church? He's living amongst us. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. I said it's harvest time. And God wants us to be walking harvest time today. And he's going to embolden us and fill us with grace, bring us into a real place of faith. I'm going to ask today that the Holy Spirit will release the gift of faith upon us concerning personal witness. I guarantee something will happen this week. You're going to find yourself in a position, and it'll be a position of faith. You'll make yourself available to the Holy Spirit for him to use you. And as you do, God will give you the spirit of boldness. Will come upon you. And I'm believing that God is going to begin to move upon us as a whole church, Crawley Church, Horsham Church, you know, Scarborough, the lot. In Kingdom Faith, there's a release. There's a harvest release coming. It's on the way. We're seeing people being saved, but not in the way that God intends. God has a harvest field ready to be reaped. And there's an anointing that God is going to release upon us this morning as we pray. And I just encourage you, just if you want to respond to this message and say, Lord, count me in for this, then just come forward. Just step forward, please. Come to the front as we're going to pray in a few minutes.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.